the Vietnamese War. There lives at a turn with Don, I forgot his last name, he was one of these super patriots and extremely conservative political views. And his opinion was that you shouldn't question anything the government might say. And if they felt that the war was desirable, then that's all that was necessary for him. I didn't share those views. My position was that there was no real reason for the United States to be fighting a war in Vietnam. And as a consequence, I would write letters to the editor, and I would make speeches. I would even go into some of these newspapers and talk to them and try to convince them that they ought to be changing their positions. But I never had any success down there at the Hillsborough Argus. The Hillsborough Argus publisher today is the same one who was the publisher then. And I found him a very interesting man because he and I are joint owners of a project at the Post. And he tells me, he said, "Blaine, anything you want on this project," he says, "I'm all for you." But he said, "Politically, no way." So do you have a series of questions there?
Yes. Yeah, I'll ask the first one. What was your first reaction when you found out about the United States' involvement in the Vietnam War?
My initial reaction?
Yes.
Well, I guess my initial reaction wasn't much different from the average American at that time. It's only as the war continued and I started reading more about the war and why we were in it and what our goals were, and also saw the television coverage about how horrendous it was and the destruction of the people over there and their livelihoods. It just got to the point to where I personally could not justify our country doing that to the country of Vietnam. And the original reason we were doing it is because they were communists, and our position was that all communism was bad. And my position was that in some parts of the world, communism may be the best form of government, and if the people make that decision, that's their decision to make. It's not the United States' position to say, "Well, communism is bad, you've decided to embrace communism, therefore we're going to go to war with you, and we're going to win, and we're going to change your political thinking, and you're going to conform to what we think you should think." And I couldn't agree with that.
What made you so against the war? Or?
Well, if you have an opportunity to see what we saw every night on television, you probably would have been against the war too, because it was constant bombing, and they would show the firefights between the communist troops and the American troops, and the defoliating of their forests, and it also showed many of the Vietnamese that we supported brutally killing people, and it just became what was generally known as the killing field. And I couldn't accept that. It was just beyond me. We had a man in Oregon at that time. His name was Wayne Morse. He was a United States Senator. And Wayne Morse was the number one person in the United States to argue against us being in that war, and I started to pay very close attention to what he said and what his arguments were, and came to the conclusion that this was a man who really knew, because of his position. He served on the Armed Forces Committee in the United States Senate, and he had an opportunity to get background information that the average person wouldn't have, and I just became convinced after listening to Senator Morrison, speech after speech after speech. And by the way, I came to know him very, very well. Matter of fact, we became just like that. And I was a pallbearer at his funeral. And he was the conscience. They called him the conscience of the Senate. because he would stand up and speak his mind, regardless of where the chips might fall. And he was just such a powerful man, and his logic was so strong that I agreed with him. Now, don't hesitate to interrupt me, because if I'm not making it clear or understandable for you, of course you're an advanced placement guy, I'm sure.
How did life in Hillsborough change from pre-war during the war?
How did it change? Well, I don't think it really changed very much. There were the changes were more political than they were in terms of any lifestyle, because Hillsborough was considered to be a very conservative community, and most of the people in Hillsborough were the type who did not think that you should take any issue with what the government did. The government was always going to be right. But there were some of us who felt that if there was ever going to be a change in the way people thought about the war, we had to go out and talk about it. And so I did that an awful lot. I would hold meetings, people would come and listen, and little by little we started to change people's minds, because we would point out things to them, and then they would see these things with their own eyes on the television coverage. And slowly but surely, even the people in Hillsborough started to think that maybe we're not doing the right thing there. Maybe we ought to change our policy and get out of Vietnam.
So you took
the general leadership of the town did not feel that way, but more and more people did, and the younger people in the high school and some of the teachers at that time, there was only the Hillsborough High School.
So you took a step to show the people different perspectives of the war. Yeah.
It got to the point where in 1966, there was a man by the name of Howard Morgan who ran for the United States Senate in the Democratic primary, and I became the chairman of his committee. And the reason I supported him is because his whole campaign was based around getting us out of the war in Vietnam. So that gave me an opportunity to broaden my voice from beyond just this local area, because then I was all around the state talking.
What was the public opinion of the war, and how did it change over time?
Well, the public opinion of the war was that we were doing the right thing. There was a strong support initially for the Vietnam War, and it took a number of years before it changed. We didn't win that primary in 1996. A fellow by the name of Robert Duncan won the Democratic primary, and Mr. Duncan was what we call a hawk. He was all for the war. Mr. Morgan, my candidate, was against the war. But in our Democratic primary, we got about a third of the vote, and that means Mr. Duncan got about two-thirds of the vote, and his position in support of the war is what brought him to that. Matter of fact, Lyndon Johnson, who was then the United States president, even made a statement against my candidate, Mr. Morgan, which helped Mr. He called us Nervous Nellies, because we were fighting the continuation of this war. He was of the opinion that, you know, anybody who's against our government's position, we got to stop it in some way. We became known as the Nervous Nellies by President Johnson. But as it turned out, that fall in 1996, the Republican candidate, who was also against the war, his name was Mark Hatfield, he had been the governor, he won. So there was already some changes being felt throughout the state at large. Because the pro-war candidate lost in that election. In 1968, I was the chairman in Oregon for Senator Eugene McCarthy of Minnesota, who ran for president. And his sole issue in that campaign was, get us out of the war in Vietnam. We don't belong there. It is crippling our nation, and it is certainly crippling that nation. And we won the Oregon primary. In 1968, we won the Oregon primary on the issue of get us out of the war in Vietnam. So all of this writing and speaking and agitation that all of us were stirring up finally was having an impact on the people of Oregon. And more of them started to shift to our way of thinking than the president's way. That year I was elected to the Democratic National Committee in Ann Arbor, Oregon, and my issue there, and the way you're elected in those years is by the voters themselves. They have a choice. You go and vote for one or somebody else. And I won big because my issue was no more war. So slowly but surely, things were changing in Oregon, even in Hillsboro.
How was the economy based in Hillsboro after the war? I mean, how was the economy based in Hillsboro after the war? And did it change in any way?
Well, not immediately after the war. The economy in Hillsboro has changed significantly, though. Hillsboro used to be a backwater little town. Beaverton was where all the growth was, even though the county seat was out here in Hillsboro. Now Hillsboro is. Of course, this is way after. But Hillsboro's economy has grown significantly, it's grown rapidly, and it's going to continue to grow. And that's because of all of the computer and software and hardware business that's come into this county.
Were there any anti-war or pro-war demonstration?
Oh yes, there were lots of them.
If so, how did they affect you?
Well, I was helping to organize the anti-war demonstration, so.
I'm going so much by the question.
Yeah.
Once people knew that certain young men were going to the war in Vietnam, how were these people treated?
Say that question again, please.
Once people knew that certain young men were going to the war in Vietnam, how were these people treated?
How were the people who knew they were going to war?
That was selected to go to the war.
Like what?
Like once, like some young men knew that they were being drafted toward the war, how were those individuals treated?
Oh, well, it depends upon whether or not they went or whether or not they defied the draft and disappeared. A lot of them went up to Canada. They said, we're not going to fight in that war. So they migrated down up to Canada. And a lot of young men would demonstrate against the war, and they would burn their draft cards, and they would say, we're not going to go and give up our lives for that war in Vietnam. There were more, though, who felt that if the government drafted them, and that's how they went to the war, they were drafted. Do you understand what that means? They were drafted with... They went, and early in the war, there was very little question about them, these young people who were drafted. But as the war drug on, and as people saw the impact of it, and saw how many of our own people were being killed, and they began to wonder, for what? You know, why are we doing this? Why are we sending all of our young people over there to fight in that war? What are we going to gain from it? And little by little, a lot of young people said, no way, I'm not going to go. I will be a draft dodger, or I will be a conscientious objector, or I will go to jail before I go to Vietnam to fight.
Did you know any men who, besides yourself, openly resisted the draft?
Say again, please.
Do you know any men, except for yourself, that openly resisted
the draft? I did at that time, but I don't remember what their names are now. Yes. A lot of them would work with me in the political campaigns.
To what extent did the young men enlist voluntarily?
not very many enlisted voluntary. As a matter of fact, a lot of young men even made it a point to go to college at that time because they could get deferments because they were in college. So there were a lot of the people who had no other opportunity in front of them, a lot of black Americans enlisted. But the average educated white American wasn't rushing to enlist in that war. They had to be drafted.
Oh, there were a lot of African Americans.
Because they didn't have any job opportunities. A lot of them didn't have a great deal of education. And it was the patriotic thing to do. So they did it.
Were there any pro-war community sanctioned activities in Hillsborough during this time?
Pro-war?
Yeah, such as like blood drives for the soldiers, etc. Oh.
You know, I don't remember anything of that nature, but there were certainly a lot of pro-meetings in Hillsborough, people who supported the war, because they would organize in opposition to us who were against the war. They wanted to make sure that there was a counterbalance out there where people could see that we weren't the spokesman for what most people thought, because they felt most people agreed with them that we were doing the right thing. So yes, they would organize their meetings to support the war. And they would write letters to the editor. There were probably more letters to the editor in support of the war than there were against the war, at least early on.
How were the soldiers treated when they returned, and what programs were set to?
Well, you know, the press at the time said that the soldiers who returned as the war was winding down were not treated very well. Because by that time the bulk of American people had come up against the war. But I personally never saw anything like that. I never saw any returning soldier or sailor who was harassed or treated in a bad manner because he had gone over there and fight.
Was there any programs that reintegrated into society?
Not like there were following other wars and police actions.
Very interesting. Is there anything that I did not ask that would you really like to tell me?
Well, Daniel, it's been so long. Until you called, I hadn't thought about that war in a long time. And until you sent that fax to me, I wasn't even sure which letter you were talking about. Because I know that letter had an impact because I had a number of people clip it out and mail it to me and indicate that they were in full agreement with what I was saying and trying to accomplish at that time. And that's what led me into the other political stuff that I did. But it wasn't easy in those early years to be a voice against the war, because you were against our government policy at that time.
A lot of strong pro-government.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of strong government. The Oregonian, most of the newspapers of the state supported the war. They would editorialize, and their newspaper coverage would highlight the need for us to continue and win that war. We'd already had the history of the French losing the war. You know, the French were running the war before we got into it. And there was some talk that President Kennedy, before he was killed, was giving serious consideration to withdrawing us from the war. But Lyndon Johnson had no similar ideas at all. And I knew John Kennedy, and I knew Lyndon Johnson. I was at the White House with both of them.
Ooh.
Yes, I was at the, in 1962, I was at the White House with, got pictures in my office. We were having this, up there you would see him, In 64, I was in with Johnson in his executive office building. Went to dinner with them, where they had the Marine Corps band playing. And I knew these people personally.
You have an interesting history behind you.
Yes. It is. And I was one of those people who also said that we ought to recognize Red China. I said this back in the 60s. And people just threw their hands up in horror. How they thought they called me a communist. Why could you, how could you possibly say recognize Red China? Well, my position is that if you recognize somebody, doesn't mean you approve of them or of their government, but you acknowledge the fact that they exist. And if you're ever going to have an opportunity to influence how they perform, you've got to recognize them and work back and forth. You don't have to agree. And as a result of that, in 1978, President Carter sent me to China. This was before we even had diplomatic relations with China. And I was behind the bamboo curtain touring that country, meeting some of the key people in that country, and then came back here and made speeches and wrote articles all around. So our people would have a little more open mind about the fact that one of these days we're going to recognize Red China. And we did recognize Red China during Carter's administration. If you got enough, that's fine. Don't worry. Don't.
I don't know what else to ask. I want to know so much more. I just don't know what to ask. Yeah. Did you think of any questions? Any curiosity?
Did you know anyone personally that was in the war and either died there or came back?
I don't know of anybody who died over there. No.
But did you know anybody like a close friend that came back?
I have two sons, and one of them was too young. He was only born in December of 1968, and the other one was born in March of 1960, so they were much too young to have been in that war. I served in the military. I spent 4 years during the Korean War, police action in the United States Navy. As if I was just anti-military. I enlisted.
So what was different from the Korean War that you supported that and supported?
Well, the Korean War was different in that North Korea invaded South Korea and was going to take over that country. And, you know, it was split following World War II, and then the North just decided they were going to take it over. And that started out as what was known as a police action through the United Nations. But essentially it was the United States Armed Forces that were the principal participants in that war. I have a younger brother who was also in the Korean War. And I have an older brother who served in the U.S. During World War II. We were all in the Navy. One of my close relatives signed the Declaration of Independence. William Whipple, he was the delegate from New Hampshire. He was one of the, you never read about him. They relegated him to second class status, but he was one of the main leaders of the Continental Congress. He was head of the Foreign Relations Committee, he was head of the Naval Committee, he was head of the Quartermaster Corps Committee. He worked on the money system for the new government, and he was a close confidant and advisor to a fellow by the name of George Washington. He was also a general and negotiated the surrender of General Burgoyne at the Battle of Saratoga, which was the turning point of the war. It brought Spain in and Holland in side. One of my, two of my grandfathers were in that Revolutionary War. that we aren't necessarily, I don't necessarily come from a pacifist family. My grandfather was in the Spanish-American War, serving in Cuba. And he enlisted in that war when he was over 40 years old, when the average age was 20 of people who served in that war. I don't come to this from a pacifistic point of view. I came to it from a point of view that it just was not right for this country to be destroying Vietnam because their government was communistic.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. What you're going to do is...